This is Foundation Radio FM 100 broadcasting from Bamenda in the northwest region of Cameroon. The program is for our people.
So while they fight you down, stand firm and give your thanks and praises.
In For Our People, we strive to look beyond news events in an endeavor to render our society better tomorrow than it is today. Dendong Julius is at the technical control room. Christopher Fogwe is our studio guest. I am Mokun Johnny Nelson anchoring. In today's edition, we shall be discussing human trafficking. We shall also be taking a look at the ongoing session of Parliament, that is, the lower and upper house, and lots more. Stay put and you will not regret being part of us for the next 1 hour. On the occasion of the Francophonie Month, a roundtable discussion focusing on cultural diplomacy and multilingualism holds March 20th at the United Nations ECOSOC Chambers. Cameroon's Minister of Arts and Culture, Amatutu Muna, presents a paper on behalf of the Cameroon government. She is not alone. Cameroonian-born UNESCO artist for peace, Manu Dibango, also presents a paper on the contribution of an artist for peace. Other papers are presented by prominent personalities of the La Francophonie community and the United Nations. But those presented by our compatriots concerns us. That decrease can artists, I mean musicians, through their songs, help foster peace in our country, Cameroon, Africa, and the world?
Well, music in general is regarded as the universal language, and that implies, I think, that you can use it to communicate across the board, either at a psychological level or when we are using lyrics of the sorts that convey messages. You can communicate. But music is one thing that works both ways. It can do what La Piro de Mbanga was doing by becoming a thorn in the flesh of, say, a system. But it can also be a very wonderful vehicle of patriotism and making people bond together as members working harmoniously together as one nation.
Besides being used to promote peace, it can also be used to decry social ills in the society as La Pirouette de Banga did, Daddy Chris. That's what you are saying.
That's precisely what I'm saying. I'm saying that music is so flexible an instrument that you can use it for various purposes. You can use it for all kinds of multitasking when it comes to conveying messages.
And the experience of Manu Dibango is being used at the United Nations to, as an example, to send peace messages. Maybe are they exploiting his personality, his aura?
Yes, and we can also say that of late, the guy who was elected, our man from Kongsemba, turned out to be a musician who was used as an instrument to divide camp, to create camps in the musical world. So there are all kinds of things that can be done
using
music.
Okay, let's have this track from Charles Timox. He is an artist from the Northwest region. The title is Let Peace Reign.
Using machetes and guns to kill your brothers and sisters. The money we are using to buy can stop killing Africa. Violence is not good. Torture is not good. Raping is not good. Fighting is not good. Nations stop fighting nations. Churches stop fighting churches. Religions stop fighting religions. There is only one God. Africa, stop political fighting. Africa, stop tribal conflict. Africa, stop hatred and jealousy. And love one another. Chantal Bia, we thank you for all what you have been doing and still doing concerning the health and education in our nation through the foundation of Chantal Bia. I say Africa and the world, you should copy the good ethics of Cameroon. You should see how Cameroonians love their brothers and sisters. When there is Barka de Sala, open the Mudong. Christians join and celebrate with Muslims. But when Christians are also celebrating their Xmas and Easter,
shout Tim Oaks there in that musical track, Let Peace Reign. He is saying there that, from what I get, that democracy should be a bedfellow to peace, because where there's no democracy, peace may surely run away.
Yes, and he's also saying that we should not pretend that there are democracies tailored for particular states when there is a universal type of democracy at a level of principles that can be best copied from those who have been practicing it out in the West.
That's what he's saying.
He's saying that.
And we're expecting that our own Manu Dibango certainly raised some of these issues in his presentation at the United Nations on the role of an artist fostering peace. Because, you know, when people are in despair, just music alone can rekindle hope.
You know, it brings to my mind performances I've seen of Manu Dibango's music in Europe, where you will see a hall of more than 200 people in an orchestra, in which the majority of the players are whites, and quite a few of them black, and the musical score written by Manu Dibango. So this is a language that has been coded to a point where people, whether they're from Japan, from China, from wherever they come, can get together and play music together for the entertainment of not only themselves, but those who are full in the hall watching. So music is a wonderful blender of people. But at the same time, in the times of Hitler, some of the German marches were such stimulants to the war. There were war cries and got people charging. So music is a double-edged sword.
So anyway, today we are talking about music as a vehicle of peace.
Yes.
And Daddy Chris, this is Manu Dibango, invited to present such a paper at an institution like the United Nations under the canopy of La Francophonie. Prophets, or they say, are never honored in their own land. This is someone who at one moment was called and begged to come and head the Authors' Rights Association, SOCAM, but was thrown out like a dog in his own backyard. That is Chris.
It was an act of humility for him to leave a lot of other kinds of important things that he could be doing with his time.
To come and accept because the board chair.
These are people who are booked for the whole year. But he decided to come and mix with his younger brothers and try to pass on examples that he has acquired from elsewhere. But
in our normal way of intrigues,
jealousy, and envy and everything else, they vomited him and he went quietly.
Quietly. At one moment, remember, he swore never to come back to Cameroon but for his corpse.
And I didn't blame him.
And it took all tact and diplomacy for him to be convinced to come back to his homeland.
Deep in his heart, he is a patriot. And when you listen to his music, whether he's singing in Douala or in English or French, you can tell that this is somebody who sings with a passion and who wants the people who listen to him to enjoy what he's producing and what he has crafted very specially for their very intense pleasure.
And since Cameroonians have refused to consider him as a real son of the soul, the world has adopted him.
I can't blame them either. They know a good thing better than some of us who don't know the good prophets we have, especially when they're homegrown.
Let's have a taste of Manu Dibango's soundtrack, Aye Africa. Daddy Chris, since we are talking about a musician, it would not be honor if we don't talk about one musician. Can you guess?
Well, I'm not sure I can guess after having talked about Manu Dibango. It's hard to know who comes next.
I want to talk about Lambo Pierre Roger, alias La Pierrot.
La Pierrot. Okay. This is his time.
Unfortunately, he passed away on Monday, March 16, 2014, after a long illness in hospital in Buffalo, New York, in the United States of America, apparently from prostate cancer.
Yeah. Probably the prostate cancer might have taken longer to get him down had it not been for a time when he spent very wretched days in prison just because he spoke his mind too loudly.
Yeah, you know, he was a social critic and he used music to send through messages of democracy, messages of social order, messages of equality.
And lots of people listened.
And though it also was a thorn in the flesh of some others, but the downtrodden for whom the Piro stood bought his ideas.
Yeah.
Now, Daddy Chris, let me have, if we were to write an epitaph for Lapiro Dimbanga, what are you going to write?
I will say that here lies a man who spoke for the silent majority, for the downtrodden, and for those who have been sidelined by opportunists and selfish politicians that don't have the common good at heart when it comes to the practice of politics.
Yes, Daddy Chris, Lapiro Dimbanga may have paid a price for his political views. Although he worked very closely with the opposition movement in the early 1990s, during the return of multi-party politics, he was later accused of selling his support to Paul Biya's government in 1991. In fact, this created an uproar among his fans, those whom he defended, because they felt betrayed. And in fact, they created a riot during one of his shows in Douala and set his nightclub and his car ablaze. So chastised by the opposition, he was never to be fully accepted by the ruling party, that is the CPDM.
Yeah, you know, no matter how good your intentions are, the moment you dabble with party politics, you get dirty. In a sense, we're saying that he was kind of an opportunist, and those who want to use dirty words, they could say that he was sort of prostituting himself by hopping from one party to the other. It's like changing bedfellows.
Yeah, well, they always say they're not going to talk bad about the dead.
No.
Anyway, we know that Lapiro was, before he left for the United States of America in about September 2012, Lapiro spent some time in jail, allegedly for fomenting the 2008 riot. This he has always refuted. Upon his arrival in the United States of America, Freedom Now, you know, is an NGO that fights for the rights of downtrodden. Mm. The executive director, she is known as Maran Turner, had the opportunity to meet with Lapiro Dimbanga, and they discussed his experiences in Cameroon and how he felt when he was granted asylum, and how he felt when he arrived in the United States of America. Daddy Chris, let's listen to an excerpt of one of the last interviews granted by Lapiro Dimbanga.
And walked out into your new country.
Liberty, 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 freedom, 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 now. I got it now.
What was it like for you when you stepped off the plane and walked out into your new country?
Liberty, 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 freedom, 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 now. I got it. Liberty and the freedom. I'm a free person now. I can move. I went out of Buffalo to New York, New York, D.C. without any problem, without me being in Cameroon. It's not possible. Even to move, our policemen will follow everywhere. They want to know where I'm going to, who I'm meeting, with who I'm talking, where I'm going to drink a cup of water. The same to me and the same to my wife. They go to my wife's store every time and say, you have to pay for this, you have to pay for that, because they want to torment her. They want us to say, either I shut up, I cooperate with the government, then they will leave me free. But if you continue to sin and to do what is against their policy, then they have to fight me to the last extent. They have the means, they have guns, they have people, but they don't have God. You know, that is very, very important. They don't have God. We have God out in our side, and God became so. No, I'm free.
We shall never listen to that voice again.
Yeah, except in the music, because his music is still ringing very currently.
And according to family sources, it seems Lapiro willed that his corpse should not be buried in Cameroon, and so he may just likely be buried in the United States of America.
Yep. That's an indication that he has rejected the people who rejected him in the first place.
Okay. Let's have he's gone, but his music will live from generation to generation. Let's have an excerpt of one of his music.
Thank you.
Daddy Chris, I could not hold my eyes getting wet listening to that masterpiece from
it
that project.
It is really a polished Makossa. And this is the first time I'm hearing this particular piece, because Lapiro is better known for his music from Bokomen and the remes and the repes in the language that he has mastered the best. His own pidgin is particular to him, but it is understood by all. But this polished piece of Makossa, I've never heard before, and I have this sneaky feeling that the soprano sax in it was played by Manu Dibango. It was beautiful.
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 You know, they were all the school of the Rukafi jazz of Prince Kumbaga. They all play with Jacob Ngini, who is also in the United States of America. Refined guitarists, bassists, and musicians.
Yes, and the pianist too was no exception. He played polished keyboard.
But we have many of such in Cameroon.
Yes, in the shadow.
Unfortunately, most of them too are forced to run away from this country.
And unfortunately too, the ministry is not doing as well as it should to identify them and reward them accordingly. Instead, they just like a huge crowd of people who claim to be artists, who come together and quarrel, and in the end, everything stays chaotic, and the people who are exceptional go away and leave the cacophony to stay and languish.
Because you can't imagine, I don't think there's any big band in the world where there's no Cameroonian musician inside. The Richard Bona, the Harry de Conge, the late Bella Mbappé, all of them, they're out of the country.
Yes, I remember this.
We are talking about music, but there are many other Cameroonians who are forced to fall bush.
Bebe.
Inspire themselves.
You know Bebe?
Yeah, Francis Bebe.
Francis Bebe. I was at Michigan State when he came to play there. When I told him, this is my own countryman, met him, talked, and people were amazed. But some people were only hearing about Cameroon for the first time. Same thing with so many other
And it
people.
Seems, if I'm not mistaken, Francis Bebe too refused to be buried in Cameroon.
I didn't know about it, but but Agatha. Every time I think of him, the first thing that comes to my mind is Agatha. Superb stuff.
what would it take to make this country livable? What would it take to stop Cameroonians and Africans from moving out of their continent and out of their country?
And those who even move out are not encouraged to come back. The moment they mention getting an identity, they just completely reject them. Instead of sharing the bounties that they have acquired from out there. Because quite often, when somebody is acquiring the nationality of the other place, it's probably in order not to reject their country, but to make it possible
to accommodate.
To accommodate. Plus, if, for example, you have acquired nationality of the American, you will pay the school fees of the locals. But if you stayed a foreigner and you are paying the school fees at the university level, it is far higher than what you would if you were American. And so if you are trying to get...
To make ends meet.
To make ends meet, you are regarded, you are stigmatized. You are seen as not being non-patriotic.
Including all the advantages that follow.
Yes. It's just a complete lack of understanding. Even though some people don't claim to have been from... They don't claim the nationality of elsewhere. They spend more time out of the country than they do inside.
Inside. That increase, talking about this issue of people being forced to go out of their country, out of their continent, Italian authorities just reported that they have rescued more than 2,000 illegal migrants, many from North Africa. I'm sure there must be a Cameroonian inside.
Oh, yes.
In the past, less than 48 hours, you know, the announcement is coming just when about 500 people also tried to force their way into Spain, you know, Spain's North African enclave through Melilla. That is a route most Cameroonians I know have used, and some have even died trying to go to Europe, you know. So every year, thousands of migrants try to reach Europe through Spain or Italy. Many of those, they make dangerous journey through Eritrea, Mali, and that decrease. It is always, you know, they leave, and what the family cannot retain them here because they cannot make ends meet. And they simply pray that God should guide them through. Some come back, some never come back, that decrease.
Yeah, very true. It's a shame. And there are people who are middlemen, who are in fact traffickers, making capital out of these desperate people. Sometimes they loot them of all their expense, of all their monies, and then they become helpless because they don't even get to the destination, and they don't have what it takes to come back. So they're caught and abandoned in the middle of nowhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Foundation Radio, and the program is for our people. Christopher Fogwe, he is my studio guest and anchoring. I am Moko and Johnny Nelson. We take a musical break, and when we come back, we talk about human trafficking that decreases. We'll be right back.
je suis au courant. Tu vas rentrer chez tes parents en courant. Mais à présent que je suis au courant, tu vas rentrer chez tes parents en courant. Va-t'en,
va-t'en,
je dis va-t'en,
va-t'en,
je n'en peux plus, tu m'as déçu,
déçu.
Ah non non,
non non,
ah non non non,
non non,
va-t'en,
va-t'en,
je dis va-t'en,
va-t'en,
je n'en peux plus,
plus.
Tu m'as déçu,
déçu.
Ah non non,
non non,
ah non non non.
Welcome back. 16 police officers from some Central African states, March 18 and 19, held a two-day training in Yaoundé on the fight against human trafficking. The participants from Cameroon, Congo, Brazzaville, Democratic Republic of Congo, Central African Republic, and Chad were drilled on new techniques of determining criminals involved in human trafficking and how to carry out investigations on the subject. The training was organized by the Interpol Regional Office in collaboration with the International Organization for Migration. That decrease human trafficking, according to some reports, the Northwest region is champion in human trafficking in the country.
Tupama aussi Shosham Bamenda. Can you look for my own Bamenda, meaning get somebody to come and do dirty work or work in a bar? Sometimes a girl of under 13, they get him to be serving people in beer parlors, and before you know it, they're being used for other things besides selling just beer. And Baminda used to think
that going out
that
there
going out to the coast
was to look for greener pastures,
was to look for fortunes. Whereas even in those days of the plantations, people went there, but there was a certain degree of equality because all of them were workers, all of them were living in those CDC camps, and they had a certain level of solidarity.
And those who came to take their brothers and sisters to the coast came with genuine intention in order to help them grow.
Yes.
You know, but the money was far, far, far behind.
Yes.
You know? But nowadays, we have brothers and sisters who come up to the region to get their own kins and kid to go and practically sell.
Precisely. They come and tell you that they will be doing this, they will be doing that, they will go there, they will learn a trade, they will do this. But in the end, that is not happening. There is no education acquired. And they spend years serving people who in the end reject them sometimes under the pretext that they had misbehaved. Or they are stolen.
In most cases, they are even rejected.
Yes. And it's usually family members who do that. They say they are doing you a favor.
They claim to be a favor,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day, they turn.
Yes.
They use you. When you are worn out, they squeeze you out.
And then some of them are actually members from the same locality. I knew of a policewoman who had a beer parlor in Douala and came and picked up a cousin of mine. And when I saw the cousin there, I was wondering how in the world she found herself there. I contacted the father, and the father said there was nothing she could do at home. So I said, no, this is not the right kind of place. But I couldn't do anything about it because he felt, and he has never been out of the village.
Yeah, and often when the guests stranded, they don't know the way out. They don't even have the money to come back, and the parents don't even know where they are.
She was not even stranded as such. She was enjoying the music, getting tips. But what was worse in that situation was that my first day of going to that place, a place where I thought that a police officer of good repute was running it in a way that we can say is decent.
Decent.
The first thing I saw was they turned on the television set, and what did I see? Terrible pornography. I just went right out of there and told the father that if this little girl is allowed to stay there, she will come back home in tears. He didn't do anything about it.
And behold.
And eventually, she got home in tears and still has never been able to recover herself fully. And every time she sees me, she says, it's terrible.
You see, there are some good intention people out there, but such attitude have made people to be so discouraged to give out there are children who are maybe desperate to even benevolent people who are goodwill and really willing to help.
But many are still ignorant. They still think that going down south is going to the land of fortune. It's unfortunate.
Now, what should be done? I know there are NGOs out there educating and sensitizing the people of the region, especially the villages.
Mm.
Not to sell out their children that cheap, or they should be sure before giving out their children.
Mm. But there are worst case scenarios involving those who are taken out of here, their trips paid for, their visas and everything's obtained for them, and when they go out, especially into the Middle East countries, they are put in the most wretched situations that I've seen in documentaries on BBC and other international outlets.
That you are talking about people who are mature enough, conscious enough, reasonable enough to know where they're going to. Are you saying that they don't know what is happening there, or they just want to go into an adventure? And when they arrive there, they are in some sort in a land of no return.
But you know, if you're unemployed, if you're hungry, and when you combine that with ignorance, anything people tell you is wonderful. And you go out there to discover. that even though you may have a full stomach, you are still a slave. If you are there to do every dirty thing that somebody asks you to do, and what they pay for you doing it is not even put into your own pocket, but it's put into the pocket of somebody who is using you as a chattel. It's terrible.
Human trafficking is a crime and yes. should be punished as such.
Because it's slavery. And slavery is not
It's some sort of modern slavery.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
There's also this other sort of human trafficking where relations get those relatives that are not well to do and really maltreat their own bloodline.
Oh, yes, it happens. It definitely happens. And then somebody who is probably being patronized by those who are doing the abusing will say, yes, they are teaching my daughter or they are teaching my son discipline. Whereas it is clear maltreatment. But it's tolerated because you are throwing crumbs at the parents who themselves are in a very wretched condition. And so anything that gives them a little bit of money is seen to be an improvement on life.
So we are calling on maybe the lawmakers to take this seriously.
We are calling on the country as a whole to we are trying to conscientize people to try to guarantee some level of some basic
dignity
of equal opportunity. We cannot have people exploiting others to a point where they completely rubbish them.
And that exploitation comes about as a result of that inequality.
Inequality,
because
for sure.
Some social stability,
yes.
You know, it will thin down to a situation where somebody will not be so mean to sell his or her right that cheap.
Or to treat you like dirt. It's horrible. I remember some professors who came visiting here. And one of them asked me if we can find them a bamenda so that they can go and have them serving them while they were teaching at the University of Yaoundé. And they themselves are not from the Northwest. So I just looked at them and something inside me ached because I knew that they were sort of thinking that our place is a place to come and look for slaves, practically.
That touched the pride of the Norwegian whom
we are.
And we are hoping that the status quo will not change, but unfortunately it seems the status quo has been maintained because in Parliament, the decrees Parliament is going on now, National Assembly, the Lower House, and the Senate, they just had the election, and the most heralded change expected, nothing happened. The same people last year, the same people today, and we should maybe expect the same attitude towards laws that are examined. That's deposited for examination.
Yeah, some people were rejoicing over the fact that the quota of women has gone up. Sure, women are better, more sensitive, more caring, but as long as they don't have any, they cannot take any initiatives.
With all this whole issue of party discipline.
Mm-hmm, no private members' bills, and insofar as it is the executive that dictates what is to be passed, what is to be deliberated upon and then passed into the law, those same executives are, for the most part, males. So having women in parliament to clap doesn't make much of a difference.
That increase, when I got the re-election of Masenya Dipendi as Senate President, something tickled my mind. We know that the Senate President is the de facto vice president of this country.
Yes.
Okay. It means that there's a possibility where Cameroon can have a vice president each year. Election of a senior president is done every year.
Mm.
It means that if another senior president was elected this year, we've had a different vice president for that of last year, and maybe next year we're going to have a different vice president. That is really Cameroonian.
Of course, and you know who he first thanked for being re-elected. It is not the House that re-elected, it is not the Senate that re-elected him, but it is the Senate that was instructed to re-elect him.
We're following party discipline because he's been elected on the banner of a party.
Of course, he was put there by the boss, and the boss has to be obeyed. And that boss also makes sure that you hold power only for 1 year. You cannot be a senator or a speaker of the house or whatever it is on the basis of an electorate that is independent of any one person. What am I saying? I'm trying to say that if it is not one person who determines who is where, then you depend on a collective majority to be where you are. And once you are empowered, you are independent. You operate independently.
Yeah.
And that's what guarantees your integrity and impartialness. But if you are somewhere because somebody has done you a favor, all you do is sit there and thank him for allowing you another year to be
Daddy
there.
Chris, what we are saying is that we are really wanting that our parliamentarians, our senators, should really be honorable gentlemen who have the interest of the population at heart, so that everybody should live at least not at their level, but some of the crumbs should fall down so that the downtrodden can live on.
At the very least, we want them to have the autonomy to be able to ensure what we are looking for in terms of checks and balances. Because there is nobody who gets appointed, for example, into a high position without getting the vet, without being vetted by the parliament. In other words, if you are being appointed to a high position, whether it is in the Supreme Court,
Daddy Chris, that is the policies of other countries. Ours may be different. In any case,
but somebody, we're talking about democracy.
Somebody somewhere has to decide, whether it's parliament or a group, somebody somewhere has to decide. But what we are saying that they should think about us, Lapiro said, Mimba we. That was it for this edition of For Our People on Foundation Radio, FM 100, broadcasting from Bamenda in the northwest region of Cameroon. Tendong Julius at the technical control room, Christopher Fogwe, my studio guest, join me, Mokun Johnny Nelson, saying, let's take another date next week, same time.
And may the soul of the Ndingaman rest in peace. Yes.
Amen.
Les choses qui arrivent aux autres, comment dis-je m'arriver?
Iya,
maou maoué.
Oh, iya.
Le chemin de succès n'est pas de tout facile. Comme pensait l'homme paresseux. Après mon constat, la voiture a été fabriquée pour suivre la route. Et non la route. Poursuivre la voiture, oula, 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 la 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 la.